Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Come
If you promoted something the medical and political bureaucracy deemed to be vax misinformation, okay, you know what happened. You instantly became a pariah. I did, right? So you didn't get the shot? Well, sometimes that got you fired. But if you cavorted with a known sex criminal like Jeffrey Epstein, well, you can still go on to do great things. A shocking expose in the Wall Street Journal revealed the names of some very prominent figures on Epstein's private calendar, meetings scheduled after his first prison stint. First up, the current CIA director, William Burns. He had three meetings scheduled with Epstein in 2014 when he was Deputy Secretary of State. Burns even visited Epstein's townhouse in New York City. Then there's Carolyn Ruemmler, who is the former White House counsel for Obama. She had dozens of meetings with Epstein after she left the administration. Now, Epstein also planned for Ruemmler to be on a 2015 trip to Paris and a 2017 visit to his private island in the Caribbean. Here now is Molly Hemingway, editor-in-chief of The Federalist, Fox News contributor. Now, Molly, if you knew somebody who walked through the Capitol, just, you know, was not doing anything, just walked through the Capitol on January 6th because he thought it was open, you probably could never, ever consort with that person again and not be dragged through the mud. But apparently there's an exception here for Jeffrey Epstein.
It's what's so amazing, not just that this information is out, but how long it has taken for this information to get out. You know, this man, there's so much confusion people have in America. How was this man, Jeffrey Epstein, allowed to do what he was doing? How did he make his money? How did he keep his money? Why did he have so many high-profile friends? Why were they so powerful? Why was he protected? And we're getting little snippets of information, and the information is absolutely explosive. Like you say, Katherine Ruemmler, known as Obama's fixer, you know, top Goldman Sachs lawyer, having dozens of meetings with this person, the current CIA head, you know, and the CIA comes out and says, oh, he was just asking for information about the financial services sector. That's very implausible. And Americans have every right to know what is going on here, and they're just not getting the information that they need.
Well, Molly, remember, a lot of people had a pretty good sense about who Harvey Weinstein really was and what he was up to. And again, he was a mover and shaker in politics. So they let that all slide. And it happened for years and years with him. Now, many of the people on that calendar, you know, told the Journal that the meetings were, you know, for reasons related to his money and connections. And people said, look, we thought he rehabilitated himself. And look, Molly, the benefit of the doubt, I understand that. And I get that. But the private life, though, was it very private?
Well, and not just that, we clearly do have these two standards of justice, like you're saying. If you are within a mile of the Capitol and you're a grandmother, you know, you're going to be spending time in prison. If you are the CIA director and you're meeting with Epstein, the media don't even ask questions. I mean, at the very least, you might expect some really big, deeper dives than 5 years after his mysterious death, finding out this type of thing. There hasn't been that type of pressure or hysteria that you associate with the media interest in other situations.
You bet. If it was a Republican and anything like this, it would have been a crazy beating down the doors. Molly, thank you.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis.
Time, time, you will make your love again. Nation Radio. Let me see. Do I have an audio problem with this thing? Let's take a look. So hang tight with me, folks. We got to check out some shit. These are how it goes. You know, it's one of them nights. Got to have like that. It seems like I'm not pushing enough power out to get out there to talk to you. But there we go. All right. Now I'm ready to rock. Okay. Turn up the game. Turn up the other things. But hey, welcome to the show. It's been a minute. Sorry about that, but I've been busy. Busy, busy, busy watching the world go to shit with you. Ain't that something? Wow, the things we got to fucking deal with in this world. It's psychotic. We live in a psychotic land. Psychotic people, psychotic world. But anyway, tonight we're going to get on that topic again on this digital money thing. Because it's coming soon. I mean, it's coming really soon. A lot of people don't think, oh, no, it's never going to happen. But it is going to come really quick. You know, it's just not something we can just say, well, oh, well, it's never going to happen, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's get ready to happen pretty soon. So, I mean, they're talking July, you know. You know, it's something, it's just crazy. But anyway, we're going to throw a few clips in there to show you what's going on. And first we're going to get into one about China and all that stuff. Anyway, let's do this one. Let's try this one out, and we'll just ship around and see what we can find until we figure out.
Your cash is about to become trash as we enter into a cashless society in 2023 and a digital dollar that's being introduced to save our society. But take a look at articles coming out today. Digital dollar development stirs transaction tracking tensions. And take a look, will cash withdrawals ever be replaced? How far away are we from a cashless society? This coming out March 30th, just a couple days ago, and we're hearing we are not far away at all. Now, we had heard that this was going to be coming down the road. Well, take a look at this. Coming out March 20th, Federal Reserve announces July launch for FedNow services. And that's absolutely incredible. They've sped it up, saying that we need to get this done right away. The timeline has been warp speeded in 2023. Let's take a look at this. Now, this is an article that I reported on 2 years ago when it came out, and I let you know I was taking a look at the Federal Reserve's reports, and the 2021-2022 reports said that a U.S. digital dollar was on the way. They were analyzing the impacts, the effects, how well they could do this, and they said by the year 2030, they wanted to get away from cash. They wanted to introduce their own digital dollar that would be centralized, controlled by the big bank. And take a look, Wall Street banks brace for digital dollar as the next big disruptive force. This came out 2 years ago, almost exactly. Now, in here, they talk about some of the same things we're dealing with, several areas to worry about with our money, digital money 2.0. And take a look, cash is going the way of the dodo. In other words, it's going to be extinct. Your cash, your paper, it's going to be a relic, will no longer be needed. Everything will be done through digital transactions that can be tracked and traced. And this is concerning. A lot of people are worried about this for the sake of security and the government knowing each and every single thing you do, and also the control behind it. What if they think that you've done something you shouldn't do? The ability for them to just take away and turn off your access to your money, they will have full, complete, centralized control of everything through digital dollars. Now, in addition to that, take a look. This just coming out on the 9th, Fed Chair Powell provides update on U.S. central bank digital currency. It's official. This coming out a little bit before Christmas, not too long ago. The United States is developing a bank-to-bank digital currency as they're getting ready to prep this and release it. But not everybody's happy about this. Take a look at this. Ron DeSantis of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, announces legislation to protect Floridians from a federally controlled central bank digital currency and surveillance state. As a lot of people are vocalizing this, listen, we're going to give the Federal Reserve, the banks of the United States, full control and power over everyone, and they will have access and surveillance over everything. And they're saying, no, we cannot just give them full control and reign over our lives and our money. We need some control ourselves in our society. Now, let me know your thoughts. Do you think that this would be good? They'd be able to monitor everything, and if people aren't doing anything that they shouldn't be, well then, okay, cool. At the same time, though, they have full control and effort, and like I said, what if there's a mistake? What if there's concerns, and what if they decide that they want to start shutting people off access to their digital currency? Can you imagine if you were looking at your phone one day and you could see the app and the information for your bank account, and then suddenly the next day, you don't have access to it anymore. Your phone is off. The app, the access to your currency, your money in your app, it's gone. It's blocked. You no longer have access. So those are the concerns of some of the routes that we might be going here with this, because it's going to be fully and completely centralized and controlled. But let's get into some of the details. As this is being warp-speeded, like I said, this was not supposed to happen until like 2030. We had heard in the reports, I read them for myself, and now they're saying right now, 2023, prepare for launch in July. As they're saying, digital dollars are on the way and your paper money. Well, you might want to get out of paper here soon, because might be good for toilet paper. But let's get into the latest. Now, if you appreciate the updates, keeping you up to speed on everything, do me a quick favor. Smash the like button. Subscribe to stay up to date. I'll let you know everything going on. Let me know your thoughts on this in the comments down below. And with that being said, though, let's go ahead and dive right in. Now, link in the description below to this article that just came out. That's going to give us a little bit of a brief insight as to what's unfolding right now as the U.S. government considers digital currency launch. Design would determine the level of financial privacy. So this is a concern of everybody. How much are they going to be in control, and what's going to be going on here, and what's the design for this? How are they going to be implementing this, and how would we introduce this into society? This would be a massive undertaking, but the future of the U.S. digital dollar will likely hinge on protecting privacy while tracking transactions as efforts continue to make virtual payments as simple as handing over a $20 bill. While the U.S. government weighs whether to launch a central bank-backed virtual currency, civil liberty advocates and libertarians are pushing for a digital dollar that shields from surveillance and offers similar anonymity to cash. Interest in a digital dollar is fueled in part by the advent of alternatives like cryptocurrencies and the pandemic-driven shift towards more cashless transactions. And cryptocurrencies in themselves, it's so ironic because the entire concept of it is a decentralized currency where there is no control. But now what we have is almost a cryptocurrency that is introduced that gives the government full control and centralization. This is giving them even more power. So what they were trying to avoid with cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and all of those, they actually created the monster that they were concerned about. They actually made it even worse. They brought to fruition what they were trying to avoid. Now, paving the way for a central bank digital currency in the U.S. would require extensive planning to win over skeptics, work out technical details, and implement policy objectives like fostering economic growth and stability. Now, the privacy a digital dollar affords will depend on design decisions such as how transactions are recorded, how users' identities are verified, and how virtual wallets will work. Details like these would determine how closely transactions could be tracked, either by law enforcement looking for illicit financial dealings or private sector firms interested in consumers' buying habits. It's the design that's everything, says Mark Young, the former U.S. intelligence official who's now chief risk officer at blockchain software technology companies Consensus Systems. Young serves as the advisor to the Digital Dollar Project, a group that's researching the challenges and opportunities that would come with a central bank digital currency. The U.S. is among about 100 countries and currency unions that are exploring the possible use of a virtual money issued by a central bank that's not printed or minted like traditional tenders, according to the tracker for the Atlantic Council. Skeptics have dubbed China's deployment of a digital yuan a surveillance coin because it could allow the government to more easily monitor transactions. Surveillance fears have prompted Republican policymakers, including House Majority Whip Tom Emmer of Minnesota and Senator Tom Cruz of Texas, to propose legislation halting any U.S. government efforts to issue a digital dollar directly to Americans in a way that could facilitate financial monitoring. A Democratic-led bill that Representative Stephen Lynch of Massachusetts plans to reintroduce in the session of Congress instead proposes a pilot program testing of a digital dollar technology that would replicate the privacy-preserving features of physical cash. The legislative proposal represents opposing visions of what a digital dollar might mean for American financial freedom and the digital potential. There's tons of sections in here breaking everything down, but basically what they're saying is we're going to go this route, it looks like. Just letting you guys know the truth. Looks like this is going to be unfolding, so prepare yourselves for an introduction of a digital dollar here very soon. Now, as we mentioned, however, not everybody is for this. Let's take a look at this article that came out on the 20th. As Ron DeSantis of Florida is saying, we need to oppose this. Governor Ron DeSantis announces a comprehensive legislation to protect Floridians from the Biden administration's weaponization, he calls it, of the financial sector through a central bank digital currency, or a CBDC. You're going to hear this term quite a lot, a central bank digital currency. A digital currency, a cryptocurrency we would all use that would be centralized, controlled by the government. The legislative proposal protects consumers and businesses from a federally controlled CBDC by expressly prohibiting the use of a federal adopted central bank digital currency as money within Florida's Union Commerce Code, instituting protections against a central global currency by prohibiting any CBDC issued by a foreign reserve or foreign sanctioned central bank, calling the like-minded states to join Florida in adopting similar prohibitions within their respective commercial codes to fight back against the concept nationwide. The Biden administration's efforts to inject a central bank digital currency is about surveillance and control, the Governor Ron DeSantis said. Today's announcement will protect Florida consumers and businesses from the reckless adoption of a centralized digital dollar, which will stifle innovation and promote government-sanctioned surveillance. Florida will not side with the economic central planners. We will not adopt policies that threaten personal economic freedom and security. So again, let me know your thoughts in the comments down below. Do you think this is good because they're going to be able to control what's going on, stop any illegal activities, be able to monitor and track everything? Or do you think that, no, we need our security and our freedom, our ability to be able to transact with cash, with the ease of using it? But there's also the argument that we don't even really need it anymore, that for the vast majority of people, they've got apps, they've got Venmo, PayPal, all of these ways to transact without paper, and they're saying it's kind of a relic. We don't really need it anymore. But again, it's going to be a digital currency that's centralized, fully controlled by our government, and a lot of people are saying that's too much control. And like I said, what if they make a mistake or something happens and you just suddenly get shut off and no longer have access to your funds? Let me know your thoughts. Now, in addition to that, how are they going to be implementing this with all of the programs that we currently have set in place for like Social Security, which I'm keeping you guys up to date on right now, and all of the different programs that are out there? This is going to be a huge undertaking, an entirely new system and maybe even an entirely new currency to be introduced. And they're saying now's the time to start running out the test pilots, not 2030. Right now in 2023, I will keep you guys up to date. Now, in addition to that, if you do want updates on Social Security, stimulus provisions available, what's available for you and your family, stay subscribed to the channel. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit the like button and catch out this video next as I get you the latest on some updates on that as well. That being said, you guys, thank you so much for joining me, and I'll catch you in the next one. Take care. God bless. This is Steve.
The Chinese last month unveiled the world's first digital currency from a major power, currency that would not be
Okay. I don't know what the hell happened, but anyway, I think I reconnected with you, Mike, so let's rock on. Let's try this.
The creation of a U.S. central bank digital currency, effectively converting the dollar into a centralized digital currency.
The Federal Reserve just announced that it's about to show us its new digital payment system this year in July. This is having a huge ripple effect across the entire internet because the U.S. dollar is in the process of being replaced by a central bank digital currency, or a CBDC. In fact, most countries around the world are creating their own right now.
What if I told you 90% now of the world central banks say they're investigating a central bank digital coin?
According to a report by Citi, by 2030, there will be up to 5 trillion digital dollars circulating the global economy. But there's a problem, because most Americans don't trust the government to do this. In the 1950s, for example, the era that was called the golden age of capitalism, when we had unprecedented economic growth and high wages, a point in history far from perfect. But in 1958, Pew Research asked the American people if they trusted the U.S. government to do what was in their best interest. And they did. That trust reached a peak of 77% by 1964. But over time, that trust has been gradually eroding, and today, that number has dropped all the way to 20. Only 1 out of 5 Americans trust the government to do this. And it's also why people like to use other forms of money, like cash and even cryptocurrency. But right now, the government has their own idea for a CBDC, central bank digital currency. And this will have a huge consequence, not only on ideas like privacy, freedom, but even Bitcoin. So in today's video, I want to help explain exactly what this is, how this might work, and how this will ultimately affect us. So with that said, let's get right into it. Hi, my name is Andre Jick. Hope you're doing well. Come for the finance and stay for the new Fed payment system and CBDCs. Now, the two are somewhat connected, but they're not the same, even though people are confusing them as one.
The whole new system that's faster and better than traditional banking. You can go to a grocery store and buy a few items with your hard-earned money. And then you present your Fed card with a trusty Federal Reserve representative. And they'll say, oh, yeah, you're too fat, Fatso. You can't buy any of these things. The end.
Yeah, so that's not at all how it works. Here's how it actually works. This new payment system will make it so that businesses and people will be able to send and receive instant payments 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, and that's because funds will settle between banks in real time and will only just take seconds. Here's a couple examples of how this will be used in practice. Let's say you're a coffee shop owner and you needed a quick delivery of some coffee beans. Once you got a request of payment from your supplier, you would pay through a participating bank like your credit union, and the coffee bean supplier would instantly receive your payment. On the back end of things, your credit union would send an ISO 20022, which is a digital form to the FedNow service, which would validate it and send a message to the coffee beans bank. That receiving bank would then confirm in real time that it could receive the payment, and the FedNow service would then debit and credit the money and then send a message to both banks that the settlement was completed. Now, that whole process, which sounds insanely complicated, would happen pretty much instantaneously. But the system we have right now just takes a lot more banks, time, and a lot more money. And this service will eventually apply for things like bill pay and for sending money from one account to another. This will be super helpful if, for example, you have a utility bill that's due on that same day and you want to pay it right away without paying late penalty fees. Now, eventually, the Fed will want us to use it for peer-to-peer transactions so we can send money to each other in the same way that we use Venmo or Apple Pay. For now, though, this service will only be made available to people within the United States, so you won't be able to send money instantaneously overseas. Now, this will be rolled out in phases starting in July, but already in the first week of April, they're giving out formal certifications for their, quote, participants. So that is the FedNow payment system, which is tied to the CBDC, the central bank digital currency. So let me explain what that is. But first, a quick word from today's sponsor. Inflation and the declining economy are extremely stressful, especially for families. In 2021, when an investment fraud was committed, the average left amount was $70,811. That's why it's so important to protect yourself online and why I'm so excited about today's sponsor, Aura. Aura protects you and your assets by keeping an eye on your accounts, loans, home title, and investments to identify fraud and unauthorized charges. They alert you if they detect changes to your credit profile, and they help you proactively lock your credit to keep anyone from opening accounts or getting loans using your personal information. It's also a VPN service, so you can safely and privately browse the web, and they monitor the dark web for anything that might expose your emails, passwords, social security numbers, and each and every plan comes with a $1 million identity theft insurance. If you sign up right now, Aura will give you a free 2-week trial using my link, and you'll be absolutely shocked just to see how much personal information Aura will uncover in just those 2 weeks alone. Go to aura.com/JIKH to start your free trial now, or you can just click the link below in the description. Thank you, Aura, for sponsoring this portion of the video, and now let's get back to it. Right now, we're seeing the creation of these central bank digital currencies happening all over the world. 11 countries have already launched their own digital currency, including the Bahamas with their Sand Dollar, Jamaica, and Nigeria. 18 countries are in the testing phase, 32 countries are developing their own right now, 39 are trying to figure it all out and researching, only 15 are inactive, and 2 are canceled. But all in all, 114 countries representing 95% of the world's GDP are in some way involved with this process, including the U.S. Now, the obvious question is, why is the Federal Reserve so focused on digitizing dollars if the dollar is already digital and it's already on our phone? The answer is, there's a huge difference between true digital currency and the system we have today, because our current monetary system relies more on digital claims of currency. This is why when we use banks and we transfer from one account to another, or we use apps like Zelle and Venmo and Apple Pay, we're actually sending digital IOUs and digital claims to money, but not necessarily the money itself. And that's why banks need to use third-party banks to verify transactions to make sure that the money we are sending exists there in the first place. And a true digital currency would be true value transferred from A to B without the use of a bunch of third-party banks. All of this is starting to sound kind of like the things crypto is already trying to solve, except there's a couple huge differences. CBDCs are controlled through a private network by the government, so they're not decentralized, and that gives the government full control over its supply and how quickly they can move it from point A to point B. And with that, there's a lot of pros and a lot of cons. Now, there's a ton of opinions on this subject, so I'm going to save mine toward the end of the video if you want to see that. But if the government creates their own CBDC, here's what that would allow them to do that's good and not so good. A central bank digital currency would give the Fed direct control over the supply of money, which is actually good, because right now they already do this with something called quantitative easing. We saw this during the pandemic when they flooded the economy with money by buying mortgage-backed securities and treasury bonds. But it can also shrink the supply of money through quantitative tightening, which is the same process but in reverse, by selling off their assets, which is what they're doing now, with the exception of this anomaly, which represents all of those failed bank bailouts. The point is this. Our financial system is so complicated that it almost works like a Rube Goldberg machine, if you've ever seen those. So think of this new central bank digital currency system as financial enslavement, but with less steps. If I disappear, it was not by magic. Another benefit is speed. Because money will be programmable, it would hypothetically stabilize the value of the dollar, and it would modernize the banks. It would also make sending money and stimulus by the government much faster, and in theory lower the cost of banking because it would force the banks to compete with the Fed to make transfers and even ATM machines much cheaper. A CBDC would also help with tax revenues because most people wouldn't have to file their taxes. Instead, the government would know exactly how much money we've made, so they would send us an invoice and we would just have to pay. So it sounds like a lot of really great benefits, but unfortunately, there's a lot of downsides and a lot of risks.
So what the central bank digital currency is all about is surveilling Americans and controlling behavior of Americans. And how do we know? Because we've seen this happen in other parts of the world.
People are calling the concept of CBDCs as Big Brother's digital dollar. And it makes sense why people are skeptical, because CBDCs will be tied to your unique digital ID that'll be used to build your social proof. All sounds exactly like the next plot of a Black Mirror episode. If the government wanted, they could freeze your assets, and if they don't like what you're spending, with the flick of a switch, your bank account now shows zero.
Mr. President, the blimp flark's value just dropped to nothing.
What do you mean?
I mean, our single centralized galactic currency just went from being worth one of itself to zero of itself.
Oh, dear God, no.
Calm down, people. Deploy the galactic militia and declare martial law.
Yes, sir. What should I pay them with? Their payment is the honor they'll feel to serve their... Wait, who's paying me to yell at this guy?
Give me your jacket! Carry on!
The creation of a CBDC would give them the technological power to do exactly that. If the government wanted to encourage spending, they could airdrop some dollars in our bank accounts instantaneously, which sounds nice. But if they want to discourage saving, with the flick of a switch, the money could have an expiration date, which is exactly what China did to encourage spending. Now, if all of this stuff sounds like a conspiracy theory, you don't have to look at China for that to happen, because all governments can abuse power, including the U.S. Because on April 5th, 1933, this happened. This was a decree issued by Franklin Roosevelt, which gave U.S. citizens 1 month to give up their claims to gold, including coins, bullion, and certificates. Everything was confiscated and had to be returned back to the Federal Reserve. But that's not even the crazy part. The crazy part is the people that did not agree to do this faced 10 years in prison and up to $10,000 per year in fines. Now, just for context, back in 1933, that $10,000 represented over three times what the average person made in a single year. So that would be like if today the government told us to turn in all our cash or risk being fined over $180,000 per year. Now, you might be thinking the government would never repeat the same mistake from 1933. And you might be right, but you don't have to look very far in history to look for clues on abuse of power. Between 2010 and 2012, the IRS prioritized conservatives and eventually apologized for unfairly targeting them for tax evasion. This naturally happens when power has an agenda and the technological ability to actually enforce it. So the question we have to ask ourselves is it worth the risk? So here's my personal opinion. Let me just channel my inner Warren Buffett for just a second, because even though it's 2023, it's starting to feel a lot more like 1984. You know what I mean? No, you wouldn't, because it's just like me, a really old reference. So I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything, because I don't know if I fully understand this stuff myself, because it is so complicated. But from my point of view, I don't think this is a fight against cryptocurrencies or Bitcoin. I don't think the government cares, nor do I think this is a fight against consumers. And I don't think consumers care. When was the last time you got a Venmo payment from a friend and thought, this better settle now? Said no one ever. If anything, this is about commerce on a global scale. This is the way for the Federal Reserve to combine what the government is good at, which is trust in its currency system, something it had a lot more of in the past, and combining it with the innovation from the private banking sector. Because hopefully by combining the two, they can create an innovative financial product that allows the U.S. to stay ahead on the global stage. The byproduct of which happens to be full control. But it's also not a tool that the government needed to add to its toolbox. It's got plenty of those. But still, regardless of how much people oppose the idea of CBDCs, I think they're inevitable. As countries around the world launch their own, the U.S. won't want to be left behind. Even the World Economic Forum told us that if the central banks don't innovate, they'll be left behind and lose the idea of money and trust and, quote, control. So it makes sense why they have to innovate. But does that mean you should sell your dollars and buy some Bitcoin? Probably not. I don't think it's going to be that bad. But I still am just a little bit as a hedge. And that's just me. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Smash the like button. Subscribe if you haven't already. Don't forget to grab your free stocks. Links are down below. And then go track.
This guy sounds like a fucking douchebag. And he's fucking retarded. He's promoting it. Fuck him. So anyway, let's go on. Fuck this punk.
Hello, 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 Robert Kiyosaki, the TED Radio Show. The good news and bad news about money, or whatever is money today, because we don't know what it is anymore. And it's a very, very important show. I think all of our shows are important, but there's a lot of rumor about the Fed coin and CBDC, central bank digital currency. There's also Bitcoin and now Fed now. So the question is, what is money and what does it mean? And anytime there's a big change, there's always the rumor goes up and, you know, speculation and panic and all this. And for good reason, you know, throughout history, who controls the money controls the world. And since 1944, America's controlled the money, with the U.S. dollar being the reserve currency of the world, which caused America to boom, but it also caused many problems. And when we lose our reserve currency status, was started in 1944. Question is, what happens after that? So our guest today is George Gammon. He was at our three-day event here in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he was talking about the inversion of yield curves, which, given my real estate brain, I'm still having a hard time figuring out. But people were just blown away with the inversion of yield curves, because yield curves are like reading the tea leaves. You know, you can tell what's coming next. But George, welcome to the Rich Dad Show. I'm sorry I couldn't make it, because that's what happens when you water ski and you tear your shoulder out. But anyway, welcome back to the Rich Dad Radio Show.
Well, thanks for having me, buddy. It's always awesome to talk.
Thank you. So what do you know about this Fed coin and CBDCs and Bitcoin and crypto and all this? What does it mean to the average mom and pop out there? What's going to happen?
Well, I think the first thing people need to realize is just going back to what you're saying about Bretton Woods, when you stated that the United States was then in control of the money. To a certain degree, that's true. But now I would argue it's more so the banks. The banks control the money, and more specifically, the banks outside of the United States.
Amen. That's Jeff Snyder. It's called the euro dollar and the euro yen and the euro peso and the shadow banking system. Gerald Celente doesn't call them banks. He calls them some banksters.
that's a good term. But the reason I start with that is so people realize that 95% of the dollars in the world were created by lending them into existence. So most people have this idea that dollars are just kind of a green piece of paper, and you take your green pieces of paper that you digitally get with your paycheck and deposit it at the bank, and then the bank kind of puts that in a vault and stores it for you until you need it. But what they need to understand is, again, 95% of those dollars were not green pieces of paper. They were lent into existence by a bank extending credit. And therefore, those dollars are a liability of a bank. Right. So if your listeners have an account with Wells Fargo or Chase, B of A, something like that, then, and what the depositors found out very quickly with Silicon Valley Bank, by the way, is that those dollars, which they considered assets, you know, you got $100,000 in your account, that's your asset, but that was a liability of a bank. They weren't putting it in a vault. They were actually taking your money and they were lending it out, and you just had to trust that that bank was going to pay you back. So why I want to start there is because I have really been pounding the table that the thing people should really be worried about as far as a central bank digital currency isn't necessarily a competing currency to the dollar. It's not necessarily a Fed coin or the, you know, Janet Yellen coming out and saying, okay, now we're going to start using this CBDC. So whether you guys like it or not, we're just going to force you guys to use this and ban cash. But what a CBDC really is, when you look at the mechanics and the financial plumbing, it's just the individual taking their account that they now have with Wells Fargo, that's a liability of Wells Fargo, and simply moving it to the Federal Reserve. This is what we really need to push back against, assuming that you value freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and especially your privacy, because all those Orwellian things that we have heard of that we don't want to come to fruition, those cannot happen unless your dollars are on the Fed's balance sheet, or said another way, that your dollars are a liability of the Federal Reserve, that your bank goes from being Wells Fargo to Jerome Powell and the FOMC. And fortunately, the good news is that is currently illegal. The Fed admits that it is illegal for them to have an account or an individual in the real economy. So as long as make sure that they don't change that law and they don't break that law, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for them to implement what is really a central bank digital currency. And there's a couple other components that would be necessary, stop right there.
Because you've gone over the head of most people right now, including mine. I like pictures. Like what you have here is what's going on. You have here your savings.
Yes.
Your asset. So you have $1 million or $100,000. That's your asset. But the moment you put it in the bank, it becomes the bank's liability.
Right. Yeah, I'm just looking at that paper. Exactly right.
The banksters have to then take your money and they have to buy another type of asset to make sure they can pay you the interest on your savings here. And what happened with Silicon Valley Bank, what they bought, put their money into is all these debts and all these things, and the bank's assets went bad, and that's when the runs of the bank start. People want their savings back.
That's correct.
And that's where we're in serious, serious trouble right now. And then when you talk about Orwellian, George Orwell wrote 1984, And what 1984 is, Big Brother is watching. And the big concern with Fed now, or, you know, Fed coin, you know, the central bank digital currency, CBDC, is that we lose our privacy, that they'll track us. They'll track every move because they'll know everything we're spending money on, what we spend it on, who we give it to, and all this. So it becomes George Orwell's 1984. Big Brother will watch you via our money. And that's the problem with central bank CBDC, central bank digital currency, or the Fed coin.
Yeah, well, that's one of the many problems, Robert.
But, oh, my God, they're going to track me. I don't want them to know what I'm spending my money. It's not their business. But now with, you know, blockchain and all this, they can track anything they want. So our privacy goes, and that's why it's when George Gavin says Orwellian, he's talking about 1984, Big Brother's going to watch you. That's where our
Yeah, and it just goes back to that common phrase that we heard so much during 2020 and 2021, that people often in a crisis situation are willing to sacrifice their freedom for the perception of safety and security. And okay.
Hold on. The perception of freedom and security.
That's a very important word.
Yeah, because as we're talking today, people are finally waking up to what Gerald Celente says, the banksters, what bank is safe right now? And we have things like the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, that's supposed to protect you up to $250,000. So if you have $250,000 of your savings, supposedly FDIC will protect you. But what happened was Silicon Valley Bank, it was in the billions over here. And that's when Jerome Powell, the Fed, and the FDIC got together and said, we have to bail these guys out.
Yeah.
And that's called the moral hazard there. The moral hazard is that's the end of capitalism. You know, how do you bail out the rich? And a lot of those rich guys are the Silicon Valley guys that took down Trump, in my opinion. I can't prove that. But this whole thing is, the scientific term is one big effing mess.
Yeah, and you can see that. Oh, go ahead.
The trust has gone out.
But that's the opportunity for the central planners and the authoritarians,
right.
Robert.
Right.
You see, you have this banking crisis.
But hang on. When George says central planners, he's talking about Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
Central bank. And that's what, you know, our founding fathers, that was Thomas Jefferson. He says, you've got to stay away from that one. Because, you know, if we go to a central bank, he said our children will wake up homeless. And look at homelessness today is going through the roof. This stuff has been going on since the 1700s. And it's what George is talking about is now happening now. And everybody can sort of see it. And that's why the FDIC are panicking. Because if you have like $250,000, let's say you have $1 million, does that mean you only get $750,000 back if you lose everything? Or is the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, going to bail out your $1 million too? And that's the opportunity, because money is confidence, and our confidence is gone today.
Yeah, very well said. And I'd like to point out that the FDIC, they don't have that much in their coffers. Let's say they've got, at the most, $200 billion, probably a lot less now with Silicon Valley Bank and Signature. But let's keep in mind, for the viewers and listeners, that there's roughly $18 trillion in deposits in the United States. So that math doesn't work when the FDIC only has $200 billion.
And George, can we step back to Jeff Snyder? He talks about the euro dollar. The euro dollar means European dollar. It's dollars outside of America, which are then creating more money outside of America.
Right.
There's trillions of euro dollars as well as U.S. dollars. This thing's a big mess.
Let me go ahead and stop this clip.
It's like a big house of cards.
Stop this clip. We'll get into this. Because, you know, the simple fact is they're just repeating the cycle over and over again, the same fucking thing. We're fucked, folks. You're fucked. I'm fucked. We're just all fucked. That's all there is to it. Big Brother is going to take control of you completely. You know? That's what's up, you know. A lot of people, they're blind to it. They ain't going to wake up to it. They don't give a fuck about it. Whatever happens, happens, man. I'm too busy sleeping. It'll pass. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay, blah, blah. Okay, right, fine. You know, but say you have a couple $1 million in savings and all of a sudden it fucking expires. Then what are you going to do? You're fucked then. So anyway, you know, it's just the fucking way it is. Anyway, Mikey, I'm bringing you home with me. But anyway, it's going to be a rough fucking ride here in July, folks. Rough ride. Because it's coming.
We're fucked.
In July.
We're fucked.
Yep. We're happy fucked. 4th of July, motherfuckers.
I've said it before, Grind. There are that story about Lil Johnny.
Yep.
Tell. There are going to be no more Lil Johnnies.
No. No, there's not. That'll be something.
Yeah.
People will freeze up. Freeze the fuck up. Why fuck go to work? Why go to fucking work? I'm going to go rob some motherfucker for shit I need. Why should I go work for money when I can't fucking do what I want with it? You know, that's what's going to be the problem. It's going to jack the crime rate up like a motherfucker. Motherfuckers ain't going to take this shit. You know what I mean? They just ain't going to do it. Uh-oh.
No, I mean, We're already seeing, you know, these places like San Francisco where, like, Walmart and people like that don't want to even go there because they know they're going to be robbed blind, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've talked about this before, right, about you go to your local Walmart and they don't give a shit about being robbed.
Right.
You know, they know what's coming. Walmart, CVS, all these places, they know what's coming.
Right. Right.
You know?
It's coming.
If you don't have a Venmo account and you want to go, you know, like Lil Johnny, I've said it before, Lil Johnny, that's a perfect story to illustrate it because both things, because Lil Johnny, you know, back in the day, Lil Johnny could go to Ron Reck and say, Ron Reck, I want to cut your grass for $10.
Right.
Ron Reck would say, come on, Lil Johnny, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And you would come over and cut your grass and be done with it. And you give him the $10 and you go maybe buy him a hamburger or...
Well, if he has any money in his account, though. But if he has any money in his account, if they didn't deduct all the fucking Social Security... fucking income tax, FDIC insurance, and all the other shit. He has any money left to buy a fucking hamburger, though. See, that's the trick.
That's what will happen.
Anything coming to you is considered income.
Yep.
That's what people don't get. That'll never happen that way. Well, it is.
You're not going to be able to pay Lil Johnny, well, what they call under the table with cash, where that cannot be traced.
That's right.
If there's no cash, then you can't do that. You can't pay under the table. You can't pay somebody, you know, under the table.
10 days will be over.
Or whatever.
Right. Yep. Well, that's what's going to happen. There again, too, you got people that are on Social Security that are picking up side work to make ends meet because Social Security, they don't cut the fucking mustard, you know what I mean? So they go out and pick all these side hustles. So if they go do that, they'll be found out they're making more money. They're making money, and they'll be cut off of that. So it's a fuck you system. You know, you're fucked either way. Anyway, hi, Kat.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Kat has joined us. How are you doing?
Hi, who else on here?
Me and Mike and you for the moment. Just wait for Suzette and Rob to get in here. They're kind of slow and old people, you know.
Yeah, those are the lazy Californians.
Yeah.
Hey, are either you guys on Twitter?
No.
You ought to.
I'm on Twitter.
I'm telling you, you ought to read what Marjorie Taylor Greene put on Twitter tonight. She wrote like an essay almost. It's long. And she's talking about everything that's going on in this real long Twitter post. She talked about what you're talking about. You know.
Mm-hmm.
This corporate communism that's coming called digital currency.
Yes, ma'am.
She talked about how Joe Biden had sold out his office to the highest bidder and they have all the documents and, you know, the Department of Justice won't do anything about it. They've got all the evidence they need to take the Biden family down.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And nothing's being done. We're living under a tyranny right now.
You wouldn't believe.
Oh, this is far worse than anything I ever thought, because it's like people are saying, this is okay. If Biden runs again, we'll vote for him again.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, it's like
mm-hmm.
suicide. It's like, okay, yeah. if you smoke this one more cigarette, you'll get a brain tumor and be dead in 6 months. So
right.
you're smoking a cigarette. I mean, it's like,
right.
what's going on? The biggest thing we have to fear in this country is each other. Because these
mm-hmm,
people that
mm-hmm.
smoke the shit in and put up, these are the real enemies that we have dealt with. You know, you use the word retard all the time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
It's absolutely true. It's a
yes.
willingness to be ignorant. It's a willingness
yes.
to be stupid. Just
yeah,
a total
it, well,
willingness.
I blame a lot of people just simply fucking lazy. They don't care. Matter of fact, I've been working on a case where I ain't been had a show going the past week. It's I've been working on a case on a foreclosure, okay? The bank completely fucked it up. They fucked it all up, okay? They were basing this foreclosure on a missed payment back in 2009. You believe that shit? So between me and another attorney, we negotiated it, and today was a three-hour fucking ordeal, and finally we got them to do a resubmit, okay, you know, and the whole loan over again. Finally, but they want $1,500 down, you know, $50 up front by the 5th of the month. Okay, fine, we can do that. You know, that's not a problem. But they had a foreclosure sale date set for May the 23rd. I'm like, motherfucker, they ain't wasting no fucking time. But anyway, the balance on this, it's a $200,000 home, and balance on this loan is only $33,000. So you know what them motherfuckers are doing? They want to foreclose on the house, turn around and fucking flip that house over for a fucking couple hundred thousand and make some money off it. That's the fuck they were trying to do. They're trying to fuck this old woman out of money. And this is U.S. Bank. And U.S. Bank theirself is no longer going to be U.S. Bank much longer. They're going to change their name over to Union Bank. And guess who Union Bank is? Globalist. Sold out. Sold the fuck out.
Oh, that's another thing Marjorie Taylor Greene talked about. These smaller banks have made all these really bad loans. See what happened, y'all. I tried to address this on your last show. During COVID, all this commercial real estate sat empty because people
mm-hmm.
were working from home. So when the
mm-hmm.
new leases came up, people didn't release the property. So
right.
all this commercial rental property is not being it decreased in value. There's too much of it. There's a glut of it
mm-hmm.
on the market. So
mm-hmm.
it made the bank's balance books go way down. So what did they
right.
do? They inflated the prices of houses. How in the hell can my house gain $100,000
right.
value in 1 year? Tell me. Okay. I don't mind telling y'all, I have a VA disability, and in the state
mm-hmm.
of Texas, I don't have to pay property tax. If I had to pay property, when we moved in this house, the property taxes would have been right about $450 a month. Well, we don't pay state income tax, that's true.
Right.
But that's,
right.
So right now, our property taxes would be $900 a month with the new value of the house. God's honest truth. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, they increase the value of property, increase the value of the tax. Right. That's what I say. Like you said, Kat, they increase the value of the house to jack up the value of the fucking tax bracket.
No.
It's all based on that.
No, that's not what they did. The banks did this. The banks made sure that the housing prices went way up because that was good on the books. If they had not done that, they would have been insolvent because of the commercial property value had gone down. So what they did,
right.
they have holding all these mortgages, they jacked up the values of the house so they wouldn't look like they're upside down in their loans to the housing.
Well, they
I
had to make
understand
asset
what
loss.
I'm telling you.
Right, yeah,
what?
Asset loss is what it was. Because they had money and loans in these commercial buildings that are losing their asses on them. So they had to cover that up somehow or another. That's what they did. The housing market fucked it all up. You're exactly right.
My
absolutely.
House, I'll absolutely tell y'all. We paid $194,000 for this house, took out a 30-year mortgage. Right now, I can sell this house for $485,000, probably more because we've done improvements to it. And like, it was a brand new house, but like we painted it, landscaping, all this other stuff that we've done to it, right? So it's going to be more than $485,000, but then you have to pay the real estate agent like 15%. So, you know, but so I was thinking we would sell this house when my husband retired 2 years ago. We can't fucking afford to sell this house now.
No.
Because
you can't afford
to let him buy something else to live in.
Think about the fucking rent you'd have to pay.
Oh, the house across the street from me rents for $2,400.
That's fucking insane.
$2,400.
You know, the majority of American people don't make that kind of money. You know, they just don't make it.
They are destroying this country. This has all been on purpose. And now these smaller banks, they got caught up in these risky loans, this ESG loans, when these companies said, okay, you know, equity, social justice, governance, that stuff. And so they were dictating them. They have to, these new companies that have to embrace these ESG principles, they couldn't get the loans from the big banks. So these smaller banks loaned them the money and charged them more interest. Well, guess what? Those companies went belly up. So now they can't afford to pay those loans. And so the people that were investing in these companies, they've lost their money. So the investors in the bank have pulled their money out, and they're buying gold right now. They're not investing in anything else. People that – the reason these banks, these smaller banks are going under, the big investors in those banks are pulling their money out, and they're buying gold. That's what's going on right now.
Yeah, tangible assets, because if we go digital currency, nothing's going to be worth dick anymore. But I'm telling you, when it does happen, okay? Crime rate is going to go fucking apeshit, banana fucking crazy, okay?
Oh,
people are not going to be robbing people.
The crime went up.
People are going to be doing this shit. They're going to be breaking, they're doing it, robberies and crimes they're going to be doing is to feed themselves. You know, that's what's going to come down to.
Oh, it's already started.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know, but it's going to get rampant real fast. Real quick, real fast. You know what I mean?
Well, when Title 42 ends in a couple of days, 9th of May. When does it end, Mike? It's like this. It's next week, I think. And these, look, y'all, I've been mentioning this for years, talking to y'all. Down at the border, there are signs in Spanish and Chinese telling people where to go to get water, where to get shelter.
Right.
And it's not like a great shelter or a huge supply of water, but where to go and get relief after coming, you know, across the border.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Michael Yon is down in Panama, and this is only one inflection point. There are thousands of military-aged Chinese men coming through the Darien Gap. They're coming weekly up through the Darien Gap through Central America into the United States, thousands of Chinese young men. You all don't believe me. Just read Michael Yon. It's happening.
I'm denying it. No doubt in my mind. But, the other piece, are they, you know, what was the purpose of opening the fucking border like it has for everything to come in that part? You know what I mean? You know, what was the purpose?
What did you say? What's the point of what?
What is the purpose of them opening up the southern border to let the Mexicans and everybody else come through that fucking part of the United States?
Get them all over the world, Ron.
Well, yeah, I know that. I know that, sweetheart. Yes, I know that. Right. But my question, the question is, who is coming through? Is why did they open it up?
Because the cartels are running. Because our government's in cahoots with cartels. Because the cartels have financed a lot of politicians. The cartels are in our government.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
The Chinese and the cartels work together.
Oh, yeah.
This is where
the
fentanyl comes in. And that's another thing about narco banking. Catherine Austin Fifth has been talking about this for years. These banks in the United States would just they would just go belly up without the narco banking laundering all those cartel money that they wash through there.
Right.
Sex trafficking, we've lost over 100,000 children that have come unaccompanied over that border since Biden's been in office. We don't know where they are.
Then transgenderism, keeping children from maturing, feeding them drugs in schools, don't put to them, you know. And, you know, I said before, I said, you know, you see how pissed off these motherfuckers got about the gay guy being on the Bud Light can? You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till they start fucking with their money. Wait till they start fucking with people's money. Watch. I guarantee it. People are going to go ape shit fucking easy. Anyway, hi, Robin Sue. Zette.
Hello, Robbie. Hi, Suzette.
Good evening. Hello.
Good evening.
Hi. Hi. Hello.
On this lovely Tuesday evening.
And
in the sunny,
by the way,
California.
I just read the whole Marjorie Taylor Greene thing. Wow.
Yeah.
That's big.
She laid it up there, didn't she?
Wow.
Yes, Suzette.
I don't have a Twitter account. I don't have one.
Oh, you need to get one. Because
why?
Elon Musk totally changed Twitter. Because people have more free speech on Twitter now. Oh, yeah, you ought to, and you can keep up to date. It's a good way to keep up, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the things he's saying. You know, the news, ABC News, he did an interview, and they cut out part of the interview where he really talks shit about the pharmaceutical companies and the vaccines and everything. You know, he's real anti-Fauci. He hates Fauci with a passion. And so if you really want to hear what he says, you've got to hear what people say on Twitter now. They're allowed to say it. They're not being banned like they were during the before Elon Musk bought it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Well, I know I just never got a Twitter account. I don't know. Maybe it was the bird thing. I don't know, you know, because only bird brains. I don't know.
The bird is the word.
Yeah, bird is the word, you know. Man, look, I had one shitty weekend, okay, shitty weekend. I'm having a real shitty week, you know, just shitty. Every turn I move, I fucking move. Every fucking move I make. Let's start out my weekend Thursday, okay? Thursday, we decided to take the concession trailer and give it a bath, okay? And it's not like just, you know, giving a car a bath, you know what I mean? Nothing like that. Well, you are going to give it similar to a bath on the outside of it. But then you go to clean the inside of one of these motherfuckers. It's got to be wall-to-wall, floor and all. Everything's got to be cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Yep.
This motherfucker's got to look like a fucking church shithouse.
It's called a teardown.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you take all the equipment out, go through all that shit, and so we do. But we take the equipment out every time after a gig. After every gig's over, all that equipment comes out and everything gets cleaned again. You know what I mean? But in the beginning of the season, the whole thing's going to be really, really, really clean. Deep cleaned and, you know, all that. So anyway, I was sore as fuck. So next okay, is stock day. We got to stock it. Back, took all the old shit up, put all the new shit in now, okay? So we stocked. Okay. So I went there Friday. I went to Friday night. And it's dark. Couldn't see shit. Had our time back in this driveway. Anyway, well, got it. Couldn't get the level up because the fucking jacks wouldn't work right. Everything was just fucking up. Just fucking up. You know, the generator wouldn't start and just, you know, just one, you know, I'm serious. This is one of them fucking days. Well, anyway, the event started. You know, we're there at 5:30 in the morning. We're cooking food, getting it ready for, you know, the fucking auction. Anyway, everything's going fine. Everything's good. Whole day went great. Made a ton of money. Life was great. You know what I mean? Life was just great. Good day. So anyway, I've only had 3 hours of sleep in the past fucking tired as a motherfucker. All right. I mean, and my body is so goddamn sore. When I pulled in here into my house, I pulled in with the trailer connected on the back, didn't even plug the refrigerator and didn't give a fuck, walked in the house and fucking hit the fucking bed. That was it. Got up. I felt like I was over by a steamroller in a trash truck. Swear to God. My body was so sore, man. I just couldn't believe it. God damn how sore I was. My hip didn't even hurt no more. The rest of my body was so sore, my hip didn't even hurt me. So, you know, it was pretty bad. So then Monday comes along. I'm halfway back to life again. I get all spontaneous, clean my office. Like, yeah, I clean my bathroom. And anyway, all life's fucking great. So I get a fucking call. I'm coming over to see you. Come over to see me for a fucking foreclosure sale in their house in May.
Oh, wow.
Great. Just what I want to fucking deal with is a fucking foreclosure problem. Because you didn't pay your fucking... Well, but they did. Okay? So anyway, I resolved that problem today. Okay? They missed the payment on their house back in November the 9th, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're closing on our house now. 14 years mm-hmm. later. 14 years
yeah.
later. And I had to
like
tell them,
just woke up all of a sudden.
You got to explain it to me so I could really calculate this. You're meaning to tell me this person didn't make a payment in 2009, and you never notified them, you never filed, but they made payments all along? Could it be that something happened, it's your end that fucked up, that's why that payment didn't show up? Oh, the problem's direct, really. Is it? So, you know, that's how this went on. So I said, how can I go ahead and get you to stop this bullshit foreclosure and let's figure this shit out and get it straight back on track again? Wouldn't that be the easier way of doing this? We ain't going to go through all this bullshit and cost to you, because it's going to happen. When you do file this foreclosure, there's going to be a lawsuit that's going to hit you in the ass. And I know you ain't got the money to fight it. I know you don't. You're a bank. But you're running out of money. You're getting transitioned to another bank. And I don't give a shit. Don't matter because I'm coming for you directly. Is you'll wind up getting sued. You know, we'll file against you probably this week. And that's how it's going to work out. So anyway, they reconciled real quickly within about an hour and said, give us $1,500 and we'll fucking let it ride. I said, okay, I can work with that. You know, so that was a pretty good deal. But anyway, I didn't want to have to fucking deal with these people. I don't like dealing with people. You got to remember, these are brain dead motherfuckers. They think, you know, everything. You know, they make no fucking mistakes. That's how they feel. You know, oh, I don't make no mistakes. I'm better than you. You're a no good motherfucker. You're a customer. You ain't nothing compared to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way they treat people. That deep out with that kind of guy. He goes, well, isn't your language? I said, it doesn't matter. I've got consent, you son of a bitch. I got consent. I got a waiver right here sitting next to me with a signature on it. And it's certified and fucking notarized. Can't get no more official than that, bro, you know. So he didn't like that either. So, well, it worked. If anybody, you just got to give that person consent to your shit. You know, I give Ron Reck consent to mm-hmm. my band records. Nothing they can do about it. Not a goddamn thing. Even Power Company, same thing. I have a letter. I can fax it to you. I can email it to you. Whatever, however you want it. However you want it, I get it to you. You know, I mean, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's here. But I did send them a copy of it. Anyway, just to, you know, let them know I ain't fucking around. But that's the thing. But these banks are fucking older people. A lot of older people are getting fucked by these people like this. Stupid shit like that. They fucked up and they're coming to fuck you. That's exactly what this whole plan was. Ladies in her 70s, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
They didn't care. She owes $33,000 left on that fucking loan. You know, wow, $33,000.
Where's she going to get that? She
well,
growing
she
that on trees in her backyard? Didn't tell anybody?
No, but she was that sweetheart. She said she missed a payment back in 2009, November the 9th, 2009. She'd
and
make a payment.
And all that interest, the rest is interest? Oh, my gosh.
No. She was still making payments as usual for 14 years. Every month, never missed a lick, ever. In 14
but how much
fucking
did she say she owes them?
$33,000.
Like, how much?
$33,000 is the final payoff.
No, I mean, because she missed that payment, are they charging penalties and
interest? No, they're not. There's no late penalty. There's none of that. That got in the conversation today, too. Exactly. It don't make no sense. Where's the late penalty? Is this past 14 years, you've been paying nothing but a buck of penalty, you know, rates like that? Oh, no, sir. No, man. What's going on? Blah, blah. So, well, I mean, are you going to admit that you fucked up, sir? I mean, how could this woman miss one fucking payment? You know, and you're bringing it up now, 14 years later? You know how stupid, you know how much of an idiot you look like in court this ever came against you? You look like a complete fucking idiot. And that's where we're going. That's my thought. You know, even though this gets reconciled, it doesn't matter. Still, there's something wrong here. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, mental anguish, motherfucker. That's a definite lawsuit. Because that's what it was. They're looking for a place to put their shit. They were hauling shit out of their house today. You know, so they didn't lose their shit. Thinking you fuckers are coming about to take the fucking ass from them. And if nothing was done.
Is she living in the house?
What's that?
Is she living in the house?
Yes, right. Yes, she is. Yeah. Yeah, but they go on foreclosure once they fucking sold. They could lock that fucking house up and all your shit in it. It don't matter. Everything on the property becomes theirs. That's how that works. You know, that kind of sucks, doesn't it? Well, here's my part. I can fight this because I have a piece of property sitting on that property. I have a mobile home sitting there, you know. So I don't want to lose the fucking mobile home because of this shit.
Right, right.
So, you know. But I would have done it anyway because she's a friend of mine. I would have helped her out. But, you know, just fuck. I wasn't expecting it this week. Just last thing I want to fucking do, negotiate and fight with fuckers. You know what I mean? I had too much sugar. And then I got a phone call from the goddamn transmission shop. My car's back from the technician. He can't figure out what the fuck's wrong with it either. So now I got supposed to go get that motherfucker tomorrow. Then I got a whole PA system sitting in my office that's supposed to go into an auction house tomorrow, too. So I got to do all that shit tomorrow. Okay. Fuck. Anyway, this is going to be a solid PA system built into the building, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can do it with about 3 hours. But, oh, God. Got to climb ladders, mount speakers.
Oh, but just think of the gratification when it'll be all done and you get to test it out and you hear it and you hear that hard work and sweat that went into it and you're like, yes, that's it.
I'm going to still get actual money. I'm going to get actual green money from these people. You know, I'm going to thank them and bless them. Thank you for giving me the last piece of bread I'll ever receive in my life of the green bread. Please give me a couple more slices, sir. Have another. It's fuck. Like I said many times, we're in bizarro land, the land of Tard. We're in the land of Tard, you know. And I hate going to fucking Walmart anymore. Every time I go to Walmart, I feel like I'm a fucking laboratory subject, you know what I mean? I'm like a goddamn experiment when I walk in that fucking place. You know, 4D cameras, spatial recognition, you know, video cameras all up your ass. You know, fuck. Pretty soon, Walmart will offer work like Sam's. They will. We'll offer them. Watch. Get them at Sam's Club. They're cheaper. Shit like that. So, you know what I mean? Oh, my God.
Well,
they've talked about
consolation.
They've talked about medical
clinics
and fuckers. Do you know that? Medical clinics and Walmarts and dentistry, all that shit.
I think they're making it just more convenient for people. You know,
well, I hope I can get great value false teeth then, if that's the case.
Yep.
Yeah, couldn't help it. That you were saying there.
They're not going to roll out anything cryptocurrency or digital currency in July. There's no way that they can do that. They're not set up to do it yet. Because they have to be compatible with the other central banks from other countries. And right now, they're having an issue with that, these other countries. They met in the World Economic Forum last month.
No, do that. No.
What?
No. Other countries don't matter. It's just going to be this country. If you live in the United States, it's just going to be digital here. You can't take it across seas with it. You can't do that shit.
She's right. Banking is international.
Yeah.
I understand that. Right.
And if they take us off of paper dollars, paper currency, that translates to other countries as far as our currency and their currency and how it's spent. Because they can transfer that money across overseas for payments for banks and things like that, purchases, trade and stuff, it won't work. And so they were talking about at the World Economic Forum, they had those leaders that were there, and they were talking about the issues that they were having because they've been working on it. Different countries have been trying different pilot programs to see how they could get that to work for not only businesses but the average consumer, and also get the average consumer on board. I mean, they're barely in the beginning stages, so we're nowhere near that because we're just starting ourselves. And you know how I know that is because our U.S. government and the Davos group are talking about blockchain. Blockchain is out. We're looking at Hedra hashtag. Hedra hashtag is the new blockchain. Blockchain is slow, like a snail trying to transfer money. You try and go to Starbucks and use your Bitcoin that's on a blockchain or any type of blockchain currency, and it's going to actually take you a couple hours for that transfer to go through. That's how slow it is. For businesses, it could take, you know, all day type thing, but who cares because they're in business, they know the money's on the way type thing, so no big deal. But for the average consumer, it's not built for that. And this Hedra hashtag is like lightning speed, like night and day. Just like if you were to give them cash or run your debit card through, bing, it's done. Thank you very much. Have a good day. And so this thing is coming in, and it actually has been for the last 5 years, and I'm surprised they aren't talking about it. But, yeah, so it's also known as HBAR. It's like, so advanced compared to blockchain. So whenever they're rolling out blockchain, forget about it. It's not going to work. It's going to crash, especially with as many users as far as the world and businesses being transferred over to that type of currency, cryptocurrency. It's not good. I mean, it's I don't know. The HBAR is a version of, you know, old-fashioned bookkeeping ledgers. That's what blockchain is. They have the ledgers and things like that, too, and that's why it takes so long. Plus, it has a lot of computers that it has to connect to network to in order to make those payments to go. They gather transactions, and they place them in their own little blocks, and the computers are all in creating blocks. So you've got, like, I don't know, a network of computers in one block, and that has to transfer information in order for it not to be traceable for protections and all that. It's got to go through a couple of other blocks. And so, yeah, and then you have to have the grant authority as far as, yes, okay, you're good to go. The other computers have to say, yes, you're good to go. And that's what takes so long as the process of it to finally get the answer, yes, you're good to go. And we're talking billions of dollars at a time. You know, you need that to go through quick. And if it's going to keep up with not only consumers, but just businesses in general. And if we're going to go international, they're not even close to even thinking about that. They're still with the blockchain. So, yeah, I just don't see them rolling out. I think it's going to be, if it does, they're going to try and disguise it and do a half-assed version or something like it, or just start implementing some of the rules and applying it to our banking that we have now, which so ridiculous, and that's because they won't be able to roll it out. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. I haven't seen anything that the White House has put together, any type of team that's been working on this, because you can't just whip it up overnight. This is code that has to be written, and these blockchains have to be established, and you have to have these countries on board. So, you know, if we're not with them as far as in the group, because we're the redheaded stepchild right now, it's we're not going to have anything built. I think they just said that in order to make it seem like we're in the race, you know, like they have the space race.
I understand what you're saying. I get all that. But the point is they've been implicating shit for a long time. This ain't nothing new. It's not, the debit card was the main thing. Self-checkout came behind that. You know, it's all part of the programming system, how they get you adapted to it, okay? The banks are starting to fall out. That's it. Now, you know, the Federal Reserve now accounts are already active. You already have one. A lot of people don't know that. They just say, why would I have to give a Social Security number? That's all you need. You don't need anything else but that Social Security number. You know, and sometimes you see where people are asking out for only your last four digits of your Social Security number. Mm-hmm. They're changing that shit around too for you. So it just it could happen any given time. I mean, they're saying July. They're saying middle of July, the Fed now system will be up and running. Doesn't mean, but the thing is, it's like you. They're gonna. I agree with you. Say, it's not going to happen at one time. They're going to ease it in. You know, that's Well, they've been easing it in for quite some time. But if they're going full blown retarded with it, yeah, they're still going to do some more easing. And people ain't going to accept it. It just ain't going to happen. You know, I don't think the American government people would accept it. Period. That much kind of control over them. I didn't like it.
Absolutely, but again, if they're going to do it, they have to pull the plug. They have to, pull that trigger and just go. They can't ease into something like this because it's either you're either pregnant or you're not with this type of process.
I know, dear, but they would have to. They're not smart enough to go fast.
Okay. Let's just say you're right, and they have been, and I agree with you in actuality about the easy in process thus far, going with the kiosks and self-payment and all this other to get us used to that rather than dealing with people, deal with machines. Okay.
Right.
So
right.
That's fine. But they can only take it so far, and they can only disguise it so much. Not only that, but so far we have state and they have the right to implement laws against anything that the Federal Reserve or because the Federal Reserve is just an agency
that
Congress has to make a law about.
Right, but Florida's one of the states that's fighting against this fucking digital currency.
Well, yeah, so it's South
Dakota. Santos, right? DeSantos is fighting against that shit, and that's cool. They don't want digital currency in that state. Floridians, they call them whatever. No, I'm protecting my Floridians.
Well, they don't mind. See, there's a bill or I don't know what you call it. It's a memo that Kristi Noem put together from South Dakota and asking states to come aboard and implement this into their states. And it's not about banning cryptocurrency. It's about banning the federal government using cryptocurrency only, because when they do that, they exclude everybody else from their cryptocurrencies and what their investments have been thus far. And so everybody would lose their money. And it's not right for the government to have all that power and, surveillance on
right.
American
but they
people.
Want it.
And so,
they want it, sweetie. They do. They want it.
Well, that's why I say the bill does say, yes, cryptocurrencies, you can operate in within our state. That's fine. That's cool. What we're saying is not the Federal Reserve, not U.S. currency as far as that goes. So they're doing the reverse as far as that goes. And I'm on board with that because people should be able to, use cryptocurrency if they please. If they can get a startup on it and get people to invest, and knock yourself out. But the federal government, no.
Well, they're going to kill
cryptocurrency.
They're going to kill that off. Trust me. It's in the lineup. It's in the lineup. I got friends that are crypto that. I'm like, don't count your chickens. It ain't even real. It's like a trading fucking thing.
Right.
Fuck it is. And I said, if the government fucking stops it, that's that. There's no stopping them. They could cause shit to happen to you. I mean, they've done it for years. They do it all the time. They're dirty. They're all been fucking dirty. This ain't nothing.
Well, wait a second. There's something you don't understand about cryptocurrency, which I've always tried to get through your thick skull.
No way.
Cryptocurrency, you're anonymous on whatever, Bitcoin, you're anonymous, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All cryptocurrency, you're anonymous. So if you're anonymous, then the government agencies within the government, like the CIA, can do operations through there and make tons of money and do whatever they want with that money. They can fund campaigns. They can blackmail people. Just all kinds of stuff can be done with cryptocurrency. That's why they don't want control. Everything you hear about cryptocurrency from the government, you just tune it out. Just don't even pay any attention to it. They don't
Why do you think when the whole FTX thing happened, why do you think was invested in cryptocurrency over there in Ukraine, the president or leader of Ukraine?
Money we sent to Ukraine, they bought cryptocurrency. They invested in cryptocurrency and gave it back and funneled the money through to the politicians.
Clean it.
It's untraceable.
Clean it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a legitimate way of, I don't even know how to
tell telling the government to butt out of your financial affairs.
But see, cash is the same way. Cash is private.
No, it's not.
Not really.
How do you figure it ain't? How do they know what you got?
If you're a good citizen, then you would report everything.
Oh, well, you're a fucking retarded citizen. You would do that. Yeah.
But
you
want
to write mine reports
or
nobody does. If that's the idea this is, you won't be able to do shit like that no more at all. They will be in control of everything. Look in China. The shit's already there. It's already used. And it's got social credit too, man. Not to control your money, controls you. No, YouTube, you cannot have no big maple syrup. You know, shit like that.
You know what I found out today about China? With your social credit score, they've got an app to tell you where people around you, if you're near people that have a low social credit score, they want you to, they're segregating people according to their social
ain't
credit score.
Ain't that crazy? Yeah, ain't that nice? You know, it's about controlling insects.
That's kind of been around for a little bit. I mean, I'm not sure how long, but that's pretty scary. And if you have friends that have a lower credit score, then you lose credit. Or you lose points, too.
Bitch. Mm-hmm. So if you got a fucked up cousin that comes over, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Or if we come on your show. Yeah, if we come on your show, we go way down in the
You're cut way up. You're cut to fucking zero. Come here, you're straight zero. Absolutely. I stopped at Sonic tonight, got me a fucking strawberry slush. Ain't I something? I deserve it. Fuck, something to cool me down. Make that retarded looking face. Oh my God, Jesus, why didn't I do it? Never do it again, please, Lord. But I don't know, man. This is all fucking crazy shit. Anyway, there's been, and he's running again. Biden's running again for president. He'll probably fucking win.
They're going to get him out of there.
No, they're not. Him and Kamala will be right back. Watch.
No, they're going to take him down somehow. Susan Rice left the White House the day before he announced he was running. I'll guarantee you she's going to back Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
She's
going to
what?
Yeah, they're going to take him down.
They're going to take him down. All this shit that he's got attached to him, all these crimes and selling out our country and his deadbeat son and just all the border is going to be his undoing. You just wait till after about May, this country is going to go nuts with all these illegals coming across the border.
Oh, yeah.
People might start shooting them. Matter of fact, they had a shooting in Texas last week.
What are you talking about? Yeah, they caught that guy today.
Here's a fun clip. Hang on a second.
All right, Miranda, this is serious. What is President Biden?
Hang on. Oh, this is a short clip. I want you to hear this shit. Check this out. This is about Hunter, all his shit on his money transport case. That thing's fun. But it's good it's coming out. You know what I mean? I wonder what kind of bullshit you're going to say. He works as a bag boy at fucking Save-A-Lot or something now? Fuck. Let's check it out.
The President of the United States refusing to acknowledge his own granddaughter.
Well, I would assume, Stuart, that it's because Hunter doesn't want him to. Hunter has been trying from the very beginning to ignore this child and deny paternity. London Roberts, the mother of the four-year-old Navy Joan, had to go to court and get a paternity test to prove that he was the father. In his memoir, Hunter wrote that he couldn't even remember having the fling with his woman, former stripper from Washington, D.C., that's not true because the laptop shows that he had an ongoing relationship with her for several months and, in fact, used to smuggle her in the back door of his office building so many times that the office building managers complained because the Swedish embassy was in the same building. And Hunter responded by sending them his the resume, London Roberts' resume, and also telling them how important she was, that she was the life coach to not only his daughter, but Barack Obama's daughter. Barack Obama was the president at the time. So London Roberts is not nobody. She did have a relationship with him. She has had their child. He knew that she was pregnant. He's now been paying child support for most of her life, quite significant amount of money, and he's crying poor.
Now, by going to court and asking for a reduction in this the child payments, doesn't he reveal his own finances? I mean, a lot of finances with this court appearance, aren't we?
Exactly. This is Hunter Biden is going to have to open his kimono
right.
and show us all the financial secrets that he's been hiding. And already information is coming out, for instance, that 10% stake in the Chinese equity firm BHR. Mm-hmm. Turns out he offloaded that to his sugar brother, attorney Kevin Roberts, Kevin Morris, who paid his IRS bill of $2.8 million.
This will become an issue in 2024 election.
Look, I'm not sure. I think probably the White House wants to get all the criminal investigations in Delaware out of the way for Hunter, have all his legal problems tied up and bedded down before the campaign starts. It's a bad distraction for them. This is the last thing that they want is for the money trail that Republican chairman of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer, is already looking into. They don't want any more of Hunter's financial dirty laundry aired, but there's nothing much they can do. The judge ordered Hunter to come to Arkansas today.
Okay. The Attorney General of the state of Texas, Ken Paxton, he's launched an investigation into the companies that produce COVID vaccines. Maybe he's upset the CEO of Moderna, who got $400 million last year. Miranda, what's going to come out of these investigations?
Look, Ken Paxton seems to think that he has a pretty good case. Remember, he's a lawyer himself, and he's had several runs on the board already. And they think that they can prove that that these big pharma companies, Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, violated Texas's Deceptive Trade Practices Act, and that was, falsifying potentially, allegedly, their vaccine trial data, misleading the public on the efficacy of the vaccine, and perhaps even engaging in gain-of-function research. He's demanding documents today from and I guess he will continue on down the legal track if needs be.
Got it. Miranda Devine, you seem to be on top of the most important stories of the day, frequently. Miranda, you're all right, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks a lot.
So Hunter's got to pull out this shit. I wonder what shit he's not going to pull out, though. You know what I mean? He's going to pull out whatever he wants. But he's dumping shit he owns and everything for it. Yeah. Yeah, fuck.
You don't think he's ready for this? They've hidden all their money.
Fuck yeah, he's ready for this. Yeah, he had bad losses. He just lost all of it all of a sudden. Yeah. I'm sure he does pay child support, you know?
You can call that now to the Federal Reserve to print more. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Suzanne, what did you say?
No, I was letting you go ahead. Go ahead. I was just making jokes.
Oh, he currently pays $20,000 a month in child support, but
yeah.
That's nothing for him.
No, I want that big Chinese diamond. Want to?
Yeah, that's a couple of hookers for him.
Uh huh.
After it's all said and done, the courts will say give him some time to get his affairs in order before he goes to jail, and then he'll take off and he'll never be seen again. And off into the wild blue yonder, and there goes another one.
Yeah, he'll be a Jeffrey Epstein's island with Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I remember arguing with George Senzer about that shit, about fucking Jeffrey Epstein being still alive. Yes, he is. Motherfucker ain't dead.
Not when you know people like he did.
He knows way too many fucking people to die.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't going to happen. They look like he's dead, but he's not dead.
They took a body bag out of that jail. Just he wasn't in it.
Doesn't mean there's a body in it.
That's right. I mean, it's awful funny. Cameras weren't working and the guards weren't there. That's kind of funny.
There might have been
and
a body in it.
Two jokesters. The guards.
Yeah.
Oh, we just fell asleep. We were just so tired. Oh, just that night.
Yeah,
but other than that, how many times you've fallen asleep through your entire employment? How long you worked there? 25 years? And that was the first time. Okay.
That first time. Very first time. There's a first time. And both of us fell asleep. Me and both guys.
Yep.
What do you guys think about Jerry Springer
taking the bucket? I just want to make
one more mention.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to say something to your listeners really quick about the cryptocurrency or digital currency aspect and the interoperability. I remembered what I wanted to say was that they haven't figured out a way to communicate the different currencies and their values. And so when they trade and send those payments across the ocean, it has to figure out the computers, basically the central banks,
exchange
have to figure
rate.
Out
that's not
what,
that,
it, what the payment would be.
That shouldn't be
but
too hard
to
do.
It was all of the countries, with each country. And so in order to do that fast enough, because right now it takes 2 to 3 days to process any type of payment like that to another country.
Yeah,
or
well,
I
buy shit from China all the time, so, you know. From overseas. I do.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm an importer.
That was from the World Trade Organization.
Yeah,
I was bringing up the fact that Jerry Springer dying. And Gordon Lightfoot died, too. Do you know that Gordon Lightfoot? Gordon Lightfoot's dead.
Oh.
Springer, I think he was 79 years old, and he died. No more trash TV.
Yeah.
Ain't that a shame? You should like watching Jerry Springer.
Scandalous.
Scandalous. Well, Jerry, I'm in love with my cousin. She's my cousin, but I'm in love with her. I'm going to marry her today. Yep, I am. I'm going to marry her today, and she's going to be my wife, my woman, Jerry. That's right. She's my third cousin, Mabel Bell, and I'm going to be her man forever. I can't help it.
Yes, I knew that was my kid.
Daughter. And it's my daddy's niece, but it's my cousin. And I love her a long time.
You know what Jerry Springer said about his own show, right? He said his show just represented the beginning of the end of civilization.
Oh, well, fuck. No, it's been this way for quite some time. And most of all the people are from down south. You ever notice that?
Yep.
I think it was more like inner city type people. Or people
them people are fully deluxe trailer park people.
Trailer park,
Queens,
yep, all day
Kings.
Long.
Yep. It's like that song came out, she queen of my double wide trailer with the polyester curtains and the red. Why change it? Red, you know what I'm saying? Polyester curtain wood dick.
Yep. You have to consider what they wore on the show as far as their clothes go, and then there was another group of
wardrobe.
Culture people.
It's all wardrobe shit. They ain't their shit.
Sure, but I mean the
Look,
whole
I mean,
country
wearing
bumpkin
wigs and
type,
shit, you know.
Uneducated
right.
Trailer park,
right.
They have a certain.
Yeah, exactly.
Certain clothing.
I'm telling you.
Cut off shorts, right. That go up the butt and, whatever else.
I live in a 14 wide by 80.
And it's still not
When I was in the Army, I was stationed at one time at Fort Polk, Louisiana. and the base was just being rebuilt from World War II. You know, from they used it to train. I think in Vietnam they used it, so everything was old. So they just started rebuilding. I mean, there was just stuff being built everywhere. Well, there was no civilian housing. There was just basically no civilian housing to lease. And I lived in a trailer park, and it was nice. It was nothing like when you all make fun of trailer parks. You know, a lot of soldiers have to live in trailer parks. And on military bases, they have trailer parks where you can buy your own trailer and park it there. And I don't think it's very minimal rent or whatever. But I lived in a trailer park, and it was there were like a lot of people there with little kids. There were people that lived there that were these were people like were the superintendents and all supervising the construction going on at Fort Polk. So I kind of take offense sometimes when I hear, because a lot of in this country, military people have to live in trailer parks. Anyway, just my 2 cents.
Can't quit it.
First of all, things have changed a lot since, you know, you lived in a trailer park or anybody else, you know, within that generation. And now there's base housing. Yes, they did have nice trailer parks back then.
Trailer parks at shills. I seen shithole trailer parks that dilapidated fucking shit people throw in. Drunk winos and drug addicts living these motherfuckers. Yeah, I mean, I've seen some trashy trailer parks, but I've seen good ones too.
Well, and housing developments, they have good trailer housing developments too.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, trailer parks are worse. They're worse. But anyway, mostly the nicer looking ones are housing, like 55 and over type parks and shit like that. Yeah, I've seen some good ones too. I've seen some really crappy.
No, they have
ones.
Trailers down here where Hispanic people. It's mostly Hispanics. They buy these double wides and they'll put them on the lot. And actually, they keep their yards nice. It's they're well maintained and everything.
Right.
And they have a trailer park. The city, I don't know if they run it or whatever, but it's maintained. I guess Austin is just really different because there are certain standards that things have to be kept up. That's one thing I will say about Austin. They don't allow any of the stuff to go in that, which you all are thinking about, which you all describe, that just doesn't go on down here. There's just like standards that people have to adhere to. I mean, you get tickets for not keeping your guard up.
City ordinance. Yes. Yeah, city ordinance.
What?
City ordinances,
Hello? Did he go away?
No, I'm not here.
He's been having problems.
Nope. No, I'm cool. BTR is fucking up earlier.
I just admit the stereotype of people who live in trailer parks, you know, most stereotypes of that type of person or persons had to come from somewhere. So, you know, I mean, as far as I agree that there were nice ones, and then there are the ones where the stereotypes were built upon, basically. And it's usually white people. But in high school when I had my friend, she lived in a trailer park, and it was mostly whites. I didn't see really any other people, so that was kind of weird, but yeah, there were some pretty nasty rank ones.
Yeah, the trailer park's a poor man's home, man. Really?
Yeah.
The trailer park's a poor man's home. Mobile homes are cheaper. A lot of
if
people can't afford fucking.
The price of a trailer is now, Ron. Trailers are expensive.
They are really nice. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
They call them fabricated homes now.
Yeah.
To take the stigma away. But some of them are really nice inside. I mean,
the modular
homes.
You
wouldn't even know
it
was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, there's some big fucking modular homes. Big time.
Huh?
Yeah, pretty price tags, too.
Oh, God. Today's Wednesday. Oh, God.
And guess who we're missing tonight, Ron?
Yeah, he's probably the Hooters.
He is.
Hooters or Walmart.
Yep.
Could be. Well, my show's been over the past 3 minutes, too, so he couldn't get it if he tried.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Once you're late.
Are you in overtime,
yeah.
Ron?
Yeah, I'm in overtime now. Try to do it for a little while until I gotta get up and take a piss.
He could have called you or called me. He has my number, so this way I could bring him in through, conference call.
Right. That is true.
He's busy. He's busy looking at women, probably.
Could be.
Well, he's being a man.
I don't see what the big fascination is looking at women. You know, some of them women might be dudes, you know?
Possible.
Dude looks like a lady. Matter of fact, dude looks like a lady. Aerosmith announces their last tour. They're retiring after 50 years. Aerosmith, they're done. Last tour.
Oh, wow. Dude looks like a lady. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
What a funky lady. She like it like
it. It's an old movie, Mrs. Doubtfire. They were playing that song.
Mm-hmm. That was hilarious.
Robin Williams dancing with the broom to that. It's like, that was great. Yeah. See, there was no cussing in that movie. It was a fun-filled movie. Family movie.
Mm-hmm. But it's about drag queens. See?
No.
Promoting homosexuality. They're in there.
Or all the murdering in that movie, Mrs. Doubtfire. Gee whiz.
And then I remember he was in the Birdcage, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Not a good
that
movie.
That was a good movie, yes.
What's that, Mike? Did you say The Birdcage was a good movie?
That was a good movie. Not a great movie, a good movie.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty funny. I thought Nathan Lane did a good job. He is gay. Nathan Lane is gay as a motherfucker. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nathan Lane's a helping actor, but he's straight up faggot.
Yep.
I think I'm going to do a show on, make a segment about suicide. See, from this point or tomorrow, I'll check the thing tomorrow. See how
suicide.
Much it goes up or down between now and the end of the year. Because of people panicking over this digital currency and the situation with our country right now, scarce jobs and high gas prices and they can't afford to feed their families, yada, 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 the whole talking point thing. And so I'm just curious for my sake and also just something to talk about as well, because, people got to know it's still not that bad, even though it's bad. Turn that frown upside down and be positive. That's all we got.
Yeah. Well, that's all you can do.
Live your life. Move.
Triple percent leads your show on Spreaker. Yeah.
What's that?
Need a link for the show.
What is your show?
Oh, well, it is. I have it scheduled for Tuesdays at 6. Last week I actually did a show. I'm trying to get back on weekly again. It's at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and on Spreaker. It's called Welcome to Suzette Lab Talk.
Okay.
So I'm over there with RZ.
What do you think about all these so-called woke companies having to leave, like San Francisco and Portland and all, because of
shoplifting? I mean, how do these stores... Go ahead.
How what? No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Your question was...
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. It's a conundrum. These stories go along with this woke ideology, and yet they're having to close stores in these major cities like Walmart and Walgreens, and I think Nordstrom is leaving San Francisco. Don't they see the relationship between this woke ideology and this criminality that's going on?
I don't like cliches, but I had heard one a while back that was get woke, go broke, because, you know, by the time they get woke, they're broke and going out of business. And so they think that that's where the money's at, that those are going to be their consumers, and media hypes that up. And so they figure they're the majority, and so they'll lean that way because that's what they follow is the dollar, or where they can get the next one. And then they figure out, oh, I guess it wasn't worth it. It's costing us more than it's making us. And, yeah, not only that, but many of these companies that are pulling roots are registered with the World Economic Forum, and their retail and business and consolidation of all these type of stores, you know, products. So there will only be a few of them that will end up producing. Like you have Costco that does Kirkland, and they do other products too, but they have the Kirkland is their home-based product type thing. So that's what we're going to end up with after they consolidate all the stuff. That's their plan anyway, that they have everything on their homepage as far as their agenda goes. So, yeah, these companies will end up getting bought out and then into other companies. And so there'll only be a few manufacturing to feed the world. Is that crazy or what?
Yeah. Well, you know, I shop at Costco, and I don't like all the Kirkland products. Like, I like to make my own, like, spaghetti sauce from scratch. And their cans of, like, tomato paste are, like, it's like airy. It's like whipped tomato paste. It's not like solid tomato paste. You know, like Hunt or Contadina is. I've noticed that about some of their products. But I've noticed since COVID, Costco doesn't have near the number of products they used to have, near the number of selections. And not only that, some of the good quality stuff they used to sell, they don't have anymore.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, you go and you think, okay, well, maybe they're shy this week. They're still trying to catch up, you know, because of the shipments and stuff. But the stuff that they replaced it with, because your item never ends up coming back, is far less quality. And you notice, because you're used to making certain foods, and you know how it's supposed to taste in the end. But if the quality of the ingredients is not up to par, it changes everything.
Yeah.
And it just stinks.
Yeah, I will call Costco and ask them, because I've made a habit of that, because my husband does most of the shopping, actually. And so, you know, I'll make a list, and this is what we want. And so he'll come up, well, they didn't have it. Well, I'll just call Costco and ask them, are they going to be reordering it? Like I used to buy this, it's a pepper, and, you know, like for lunches. This is great. Mm-hmm. It was a red pepper and tomato soup in a box by, I think, Pacific Food Company. And it was really, it's really good. You don't dilute it or anything. It's all made. It's supposed to be organic and all this stuff. Nope, they're not getting it back anymore. Mm-mm. And I've noticed a lot of products like that, you can only now buy at Whole Foods. And, of course, it's more expensive at Whole Foods. Well, Whole Foods is owned by who? Amazon.
Yeah,
So it's like, is everything going to be home delivery or, you know, we're going to have to pay more for it or...
Going to have to pay more for it or home delivery. That's your option to make it sound so great. They'll deliver to your home. Don't worry about it. You know, there's just like a $15 delivery fee on top of that, unless you join the membership, which will be X amount of dollars annually so that you can have your groceries delivered free. What? Huh?
Mm-hmm. It's not free. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we don't have the number of the supply chain. it has shrunk. Today I tried to order some. My husband had to go on an errand. He was going to go to the library and do a bunch of other stuff, but I didn't want to go. So I asked him if he'd go by Joann Fabrics, and I said, just go in there and ask him for this certain item. And it's something that I quilt. So it's something, just some marking pencils, fabric pencils, and when you wash your fabric, it dissolves, right? It doesn't leave a permanent mark. Oh, my God. They don't even, you used to get them in a pack. There was a pink one, a blue one, and a white one. So you could mark on dark fabrics or light fabrics, right? They don't have that anymore. You know, there's only two in the pack. You know, it's just things that have been around for decades, ever since, you know, I'm an old lady, so this stuff I know has been around for ages. It's not there anymore. And the quality of everything is getting, it just seems like you pay more and the quality is less.
Yeah.
So these two
packaging may be the same, but
yeah,
more the same colors and
package. It was $8.99 for these two pencils that, you know, I can remember a few years ago, the pack of three was like $3.50, right? $8.99 for these two pencils.
Wow. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Jeez. Do you have a Michaels around there? Do you know?
But Joann and Michaels, they basically sell the same stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know if they had the pencils the way, you know, sometimes they'll compete with each other as far as having something that the other one doesn't, or at least at a few pennies less. So I don't know. I knit.
I was just lucky to get my husband to go to his place. Going in there, he's like on the moon. He's like, what is this stuff? Yeah.
Pencils, color pencils. Why do I have to go there for color pencils? No, they're special pencils. And it's, I don't know, it's going to get worse just until they get it all set up, and they're moving at a snail's pace of, you know, pulling out of states and consolidating all these things that we would normally buy. We're going to be renting now, and that's where the whole, you're not going to own anything and be happy. Well, the happy part is we don't have to worry about maintenance or storing it or whatever, your lawnmower or, you know, anything that you have. If you need to use a car, go rent it. If you need to mow your lawn, go rent a lawnmower. Or, you know, any gardening tools, automotive tools, anything like that, they'll have a central hub within the cities that will have these things for people to rent. So basically you're paying a whole lot of money for something that you could have just maintained yourself, you know, but I don't know, the whole work where you live, stack and pack.
How is this, you know, I grew up during the most prosperous time in America, the 60s and 70s, right, 50s, 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding you. In the 60s, you could quit your job and go across the street and get another job. I mean, everybody was working. It was the most innovative time in American history, I think. I mean, there was just, every year we look forward to the new cars. Remember, I don't know if Ron remembers, but every year we look forward to, like, what did the new cars look like? Now you really basically can't tell one car from another unless you look at the, you know, the logo on the car. It was like that. So with this new economy, where's the innovation going to come from? Because innovation, you know, demand drives creativity and innovation. If people don't have, you know, need to, like, we don't have a lawnmower, but because we pay someone to mow our yard because we're older and we're just not going to mow the yard. It's too hot in the summer. And I don't want my husband to die of a stroke and all
fucking
that.
Fucking old people,
so,
swear to God. Worthless,
yeah.
I say. Worthless.
Oh, Ron, it's hot down here. But trust me, it's hot.
I know, sweetheart. I'm fucking with you. I'm just okay. I cut my grass fucking 12 acres out.
You know, with all this migration that's being forced around the world for like the last 20 years, don't you think it's because the people like in the World Economic Forum are trying to create an even playing field in every country. They're just trying to make every country the same. So we all have the same economy.
Yeah, we're all going to become one race. One race.
Yep.
They've always wanted to make the United States a third world nation because everybody else is one, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, everybody else ain't third world. Maybe fourth or fifth.
Nah, we'll see. If the cognitively impaired idiot who can't walk a red carpet gets his way, yes.
You're talking about your next president of the United States, man. How do you talk that way?
No, I'm talking about the idiot.
Well, same
guy.
Have
y'all been reading what Bobby Kennedy is saying, though?
I heard he's been running his mouth.
He's calling out the drug companies. He's saying that the billionaires created this climate change scare. He's saying that if he gets elected, he's going to pardon Julian Assange and Edward Snowden and all those people that were whistleblowers. He's going to take the Democratic Party back to the 1960s Democratic Party.
Oh.
Robert F. Kennedy. RFK.
Yeah.
Well,
they'll shoot him too. They'll fucking shoot him.
He keeps talking like
they have a season on kidneys. You know? They're telling him gets an office, they take him out.
Yeah, he keeps talking like that, and he's gonna end up like his dad, and like his uncle, you know?
Yeah. Fucking right he will.
Yeah, boy.
Don't be pissing off the do-gooders.
I don't trust them.
It's all for the greater good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put Michelle Obama up there. Y'all just watch.
I'm sure of it. We need to see more transgender people.
Oh, my God. Yeah, did you hear about Rahm? I didn't know that Rahm Emanuel is our ambassador to Japan. And he's over there trying to push this LGBTQ, you know, pedophile type stuff. In Japan, they do not recognize same-sex marriage even. It's in their constitution. And people over there are pissed off. He's over there trying to enforce this, you know, get them to enforce it, you know, this LGBTQ. I don't even know what the hell it is anymore.
It's LBGBQAQ158X10.
It's 75309.
Yeah.
Don't
forget
that.
Got it. For a good time. All right,
Tommy.
75309. I got your number off the wall. I got it. For a good time. Yeah.
Hey, I found Wright's Quilting Pencil 4-pack. It's a package of four, and it comes with the three marking, what is it? Oh, three clean erase fabric pencils and one template marking pencil. And it's the one that, you know, it's for quilting where it rubs or washes off. And guess how much? California here, Joann's.
How much?
$4.75.
Oh, my God. What brand is it, though?
Wright?
W-R-I-T. Wow. This is the only one they had in the store here. Is that shopping online or is that buying it in the store?
I can pick it up on in Chino, which is, you know, next city over. 15 minutes away.
Damn.
Curbside. They have two available.
Wow.
Jump on them.
Yeah. You want them?
Mm-hmm.
You still need them?
No, I got two now.
Okay.
You have digital currency now. You can do it instantaneously. You can make them markers yours right now. Don't call
there
Casey
you go.
Wentworth. Call GoFed or Fed Now, Fuck Now, Fuck Up Now, or whatever now. Oh, my God, what's the world coming to? Just when you smell, huh? Well, look
do
at
we
it.
Really want to know,
nope.
I don't think we want to know.
I don't know. I want to deny it, but I'll be lying. Yeah. It's just, it's stranger every day. It gets really strange. I don't know. If we go digital currency soon, whatever. It ain't going to matter to me because I'll just say whatever, fuck it. You know. It'd be bartering time. You know, it's just what it's going to be, you know. Because there ain't going to be no cash. You can't do no fucking side deals. No more yards. No more auctions. Shit like that. No.
No. Hiring these thousands and thousands of new IRS agents. Does anybody know the answer to that?
I think it was blocked. I don't think they're letting
it
go through.
No, but that's it. That was funded.
Was it?
No, it's funded. The goal is to get it defunded.
I don't know, man.
How are they going to defund it? They're not going to defund that shit.
It's one of the things that was supposedly in this, going to be in the debt ceiling thing. They want to cut. They want to cut spending, and the best way, one of the ways to cut spending is, I don't know how much 80,000 plus agents cost per year. That's a lot of money, I would assume. Cut that money off and, you know, fire those people. You know, there's a lot of shit that needs to be cut off, and that's just some of it.
I wonder what that would cost to fucking employ 85,000 IRS agents with guns. Your own
well, you
gun,
know,
or we buy a gun for them?
I don't know.
Too much?
I don't know. Yeah, too much.
Well, I'm sure we're going to issue them a gun. I'm sure we are. Why not? But how much is it going to cost to fucking pay for these motherfuckers? 85,000. That's a lot of fucking people.
Yeah, sure is.
Yep. Let's see.
That'd be one hell of a payroll I have to pay out every goddamn week. Woo! Takes whatever, whenever. Don't care. It doesn't matter.
Well, they better not be late with my income tax refund, then. If they've got that many people working, they better get done quick.
Well, they're late on mine, all right? I'm still waiting for mine. Still waiting for that motherfucker. I did it all digitally. Supposed to get it back in like 2 weeks. Buck is still in here.
Well, did you hear in Minneapolis now they have the Muslim call of prayer, it rings out they have that. It's public now. It's loud. So everybody in Minneapolis now has listened to the Muslim call of prayer. Yep.
You know what? I haven't seen nothing lately on Dearborn, Michigan. You know what? That used to be a pretty fucked up place with the Muslims. Dearborn, Michigan. There we go. know, God, they got the big old fucking church now. They're woo-wee.
Yep. I mean, it was a Kat, was that our friend, our little friend, barking earlier?
No.
That might have been okay. That might have been. What's her name?
Yeah,
that might have been what's her name. So. Suzette.
Dogs are barking outside the neighbor's dog, so got my dog all riled up.
That happens.
Wait. Hey guys, I'm going to call you tonight. Thank you for taking my call. It was good talking to everybody.
Nice talking
to you. Yeah, it's always great to hear from you, dear. Yeah, I think I'm about to blow a stand myself. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
It's
good morning, children.
Hi, and so. I'm going to say good night too, guys. And by the way, good night, T-Bone.
It was fun. All right, kids. I'm going to throw this song up. Kat, thanks for coming out with me. And I'll see you again soon, folks. So behave yourself. Don't take no nickels and don't fuck around about it.
Bye.
All right. We'll see y'all.
That's your call.